You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes! Happy Tuesday. That means you get me, Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn, and Isaiah Hull, the host of Locked On Wolverines. How are you, sir?
I am excellent. We are knee-deep in college basketball season, undefeated basketball team, so I'm super amped, really getting, you know, we're I know this is Locked On College Football, but I mean, you know, we gotta cover all the bases. So I'm great.
Yeah, I think between college basketball and then just kind of speculating what Sarkisian's offense at Texas is going to look like, I think that's where we kind of need to live right now.
I mean, I agree. You know, it's like because Sark to Texas is huge news. We didn't get a chance to really dive in last week, and you know, I think that's the biggest news that's out there right now is just to like trying to figure out is Texas back. Is Texas going to continue to be back? We can talk about where Sark's other spots have been. I mean, obviously he was the head coach at USC and at Washington, proud son of USC, is a Trojan now right. At Texas. And those are the only schools I'm really got on my mind right now.
We got to talk about it. We don't want to, obviously, Alabama and Ohio State are the two schools that we cover as arch rivals. So it's like, we don't want to be here, but we got to do this. We got to do it for the good of the pod. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I guess. Here's the good news, at least for me. I just heard, as I was going downstairs, Devontae Smith scored another touchdown against Ohio State. They left them completely uncovered again.
So you and I were texting during the game, and it was just the most wild game plan by Ohio State to be like, okay, we're just not going to key in on the Heisman Trophy winner. Instead, let's key in on Najee Harris, but like only in the running game. Like it was a very, very odd game plan. It didn't make any sense to me at all. And then as we're texting about this, you look up and it's like, okay, Ohio State's got a linebacker on Devonta Smith. That makes a whole lot of sense. Oh, and by the way, he scored on that play.
Yeah, exactly. It going with a zone defense, a 4-4 front, and the idea that you just keep everything in front of you, I'm sorry. That's the worst defensive game plan I've seen since Michigan took on Ohio State in 2018 in Columbus. Unbelievable that's what they decided that they were going to do. It was like Kerry Combs and Greg Madison had never coached defense before and decided to come up with a scheme to stop, I don't know, I was going to try to come up with a prolific offense, but I guess 2020 Alabama, right? Like, it's unbelievable that that's what they came up with. Because if I were them, special attention paid to Devontae Smith, special attention paid to Najee Harris, and make Mac Jones beat you with John Metchie, with Billingsley, with Slade Bolden.
And they would have. They would have. But it's just not as embarrassing if you let those guys beat you than Devonta Smith.
Exactly.
I mean, Isaiah, there were shots where he, like, would catch the ball, and there would be no one within, like, 10 or 15 yards of him. Like, it was just, they could do nothing to slow this guy down. And obviously, folks listening are like, well, the reason he won the Heisman is because he's good at creating his own space and getting open and all that. And it's like, sure. But, like, You've got to bump this guy at the line of scrimmage and then bracket him once he gets, you know, 10 yards downfield. And it's just, they had no interest in doing that whatsoever.
No, they didn't. They didn't even seem to want to have like at least put like a nickel back that his only job is to follow him. Right. Uh-huh. Like there were so many, like you mentioned the touchdown, right? Like there's, why is Pete Werner end up being the guy on Devontae Smith? That should never happen. That should never have happened, right? Like, that was the, like, out of any matchup that could possibly happen in college football from an off, you know, a defensive player on an offensive player, that's one of the worst matchups you can have. The only one that would have been worse is if they decided that they were going to put Haskell Garrett on him, right? Like, let's put an interior lineman and, like, let's have that guy cover him. Like, just baffling that they found themselves in those situations. Now, it's one thing if it's just, like, a lapse. But the dude had 219 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he did it in only one half. That's not even like a whole game.
Right.
That's one half of football. Imagine if he was able to stay healthy. He very well could have had 300-400 yards. I mean, they're lucky it didn't get worse, right?
And Kirk Herbstreit was talking about it at the start of the broadcast. They're like, Ohio State, this is going to be a red zone game for their defense. It's like, we're going to keep everything in front of them all the way down the field, and it's like, we're going to hold them to field goals. And it's like, if that doesn't just scream, hey, we know you're like significantly better than us and we're okay with it, like, I don't know what does.
It's a
championship game.
They played this game in like pretty much every way to not lose rather than to go out there, be aggressive and win. Like,
yeah.
And the thing that makes it insane to me is no one's really slowed down Alabama. But when you look at like Florida, like at least like stalled them a little bit at some point in like the second half.
And they were able to score with them.
Yeah, exactly. And Ohio State, in my opinion, still like this game doesn't change anything for me, was the second best team in the country. And I thought Ohio State was going to be able to roll with them a little bit. I picked it to be like a medium scoring game. I picked it to be 35-32 Alabama what I decided.
You thought it was
going to
be close.
Yeah, because I thought Ohio State's like, all right, Ohio State has, on paper at least, the best defense that Alabama was going to face all year.
Yeah.
And I thought that Ohio State had probably the best offense that they would have faced all year. Because I think Ohio State's offense is better than Florida. And it just, the game plan, the coaches did these kids a disservice because they went out there and they decided, we're going to play this as conservative as possible. We're going to just not shoot ourselves in the foot, and Alabama just boat raced them.
Yeah, and it's like it was tied at 14 all, and then after that it was pretty much all Alabama. But the thing that I thought was interesting in all of this as far as the response was, okay, yeah, Ohio State didn't deserve to be there. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, did you see what they did against Clemson last week? Like, I just, that's a weird take for me, and I'm seeing it all over the place.
Right, like Ohio State absolutely deserved to be there. They, I mean, like I said, second best team in college football. Like, who would you have in their place? Like, don't give me Florida or Texas A&M. Those teams had their shot against Alabama.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't get another shot. Like, you don't, if you lose, especially the way those teams had lost to Alabama, you don't get another chance to try to take them down.
Right?
Like, you don't get a redo to try to get to the championship and win the championship. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You can't tell me another team out there that could compare to Ohio State. Because, like you said, Clemson got destroyed by Ohio State. You're going to tell me Oklahoma? I mean, maybe. But Oklahoma had two losses. You're going to tell me a team in the Pac-12? I mean, the Pac-12 played even less games than Ohio, like the Big Ten did.
Right.
So, I mean, the right team was there. It's just that Alabama's that good.
Yeah, they're a lot better than other people. I want to continue this conversation in just a moment. Today's show brought to you in partnership with our friends at BetOnline.ag. They are our exclusive betting partner throughout the whole Locked On podcast network. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's BetOnline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. If you're pumped up about the Browns win and you're like, you know what, they can keep it within 8 against Kansas City, put some money down. BetOnline.ag. And you can visit our good friends and exclusive partner on social media at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code Locked On for that sign up bonus. That's at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So continuing that conversation, Isaiah, you know, I think the natural response that I've had when people are like, okay, Ohio State did not deserve to be in the playoffs, Notre Dame did not deserve to be in the playoffs, I get the argument for Texas A&M more than any other school, but a ton of people still saying Cincinnati, and all of a sudden I'm seeing more and more people say Coastal Carolina, and I'm like, get out of here, man. Like, do you know how bad of a game that would have been last night? I can't even comprehend it.
Yeah, that would have been, I mean, it really would have been like 100-0 in that case. Like, they wouldn't have been able to do anything like Coastal Carolina. I always like what Mark Packer from SiriusXM, the ESPNU station there, likes to say is, you know, with, when it comes to the Power Five versus Group of Five and the College Football Playoff, with the Group of Five and the College Football Playoff, listen, it's not for you. New Year's Six, you get an opportunity there, or two maybe, depending on how things go. But the College Football Playoff isn't for you, unfortunately. That's just how it's built.
Right.
Now, if you want to use it to say that there should be some expansion, I mean, sure. I don't think it should be expanded, like, largely, right? Like, I don't think it should be, like, 16 and, you know, congratulations, Coastal Carolina. You get in and, you know, and get to play Alabama in round one. I think that honestly is a little bit of a waste of time, because I don't think you need a field of 16 to really be able to.
I think anything over 8 is ridiculous.
I agree. And honestly, I'm torn between 6 and 8.
I feel like, I really think 4 is okay. I know that's an extremely unpopular opinion, but it's like the big thing with college football this year was there's 3 teams, and it's like, who's the 4th team? You know, and like at first it was just Alabama and Clemson, and then it's like, okay, does Ohio State count? Have they done enough to garner enough work to get in? And I personally think so. You do too. And so it's like, okay, you got those 3. And then, like, the drop-off was pretty drastic after that. And were there 6 teams throughout the college football world that deserve to be a playoff team this year? And it's like, I don't think so. And it seems like that's kind of always the case. So I think it almost would lessen it if you made it 8 teams. But there's going to be more money in it. There's going to be more bowl involvement. There's going to be more folks, as you know, among the powers that be that want this. So I think it will eventually happen when the contract runs out, and it'll be fun. I'll watch all the games. I'll watch 8-1 and 2-7 and all that good stuff, but I don't think they're going to be close. I don't think they're going to be close football games.
I mean, I think we're forgetting about 9 Windiana a little bit.
Maybe so.
You and I.
Maybe so. Our friends at home field.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm absolutely with you, and I don't think that if you start expanding it, like, it's going to do a lot, really, you know.
Just because you put more teams in there doesn't make the product better.
That's kind of why I like 6, right? Give a bye week to the top 2, and, you know, like, it include some of those ones that are, like, maybe fringe, because, like, you know, like, Ohio State was a 3 seed this year. They were a 4 seed the year that they won it all.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, just to quickly digress. If you were to anyone that listens to me on this show, it's funny because last week, how much love was I giving Ohio State? And then I turned around and had my Locked On Wolverines podcast, and I had all kinds of Ohio State people in my mentions being like, tired of you hating on Ohio State. And it's like, it's funny just to me, like, because I go on this show and I'm just, dude, all about giving the Buckeyes credit.
Dude, people bring me up in message boards, and one person will say I stink because I'm a homer. And the other person will bring me up and say I stink because I hate Auburn. So it's whatever. It's whatever.
But, you know, I would really, you know, you think about, like, sometimes the seeding and everything. It's sometimes teams do get hot or whatever. This is a different season, though, right? Like, this was, like, to me, it's like saying that Texas A&M deserved to be there because they played more games and stuff like that, like, compared to Ohio State. Listen, if Ohio State played a full complement of a schedule, it would have won every game.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem admitting that,
right,
coming from the Michigan side of things. If Ohio State would have played Michigan, if Ohio State would have played Wisconsin, if Ohio State would have had a couple non-conference games, if they would have played Texas and USC and, you know, whoever else. If they would have played Texas A&M, I still think Ohio State would have ended up being undefeated this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's such a moot point to be like, well, they didn't play enough. And then to see them get eviscerated by Alabama, like, we're acting as if that's not what happened with every other team that played Alabama this year.
Right. And it's driving me crazy when people say other schools like the like Cincinnati. And it's like, well, Alabama was able to handle Georgia, and Georgia beat Cincinnati. And it's very clear Cincinnati was more fired up for that game than Georgia was. So I just, that doesn't make sense. And it's like, you talk about Coastal, and it's like, obviously, we didn't know this at the time of the selection, and they wouldn't have gone to that bowl game. It's like, they lost to Liberty. Like, get out of here. And you're saying they can belong? Like, just stop it. Get out of here with all that. The college football right. playoff is not meant for you. So go find your own thing. And if you want to be upset that there's not a group of five playoff, that's fine. You know, get within your other conferences and figure that out, because I'd watch every bit of it. I think it would enhance the college game. But in the grand scheme of things, if it stays the way it is, the group of five schools, they've got one shot. They've got one shot to say, okay, we belong in the play. Because once one gets in, whether it's a UCF or a BYU or a Cincinnati, you have one chance. And if you get blown out, you're going to ruin it for everyone that's playing at your level for forever. And so I don't know if there was really the school out there to make that point this year. So like I think long-term it may have actually helped them a little bit, because at least they can still argue about it. Because if you would have put Cincinnati in there, I don't think they would have belonged against Alabama, Clemson, or Ohio State, depending on who they drew based on the seeding that they were. Like that would have not been good for them moving forward. So at least they still have the argument there. But I get the whole argument as far as like, do you want the best four teams or the four most deserving teams? I get all that. I want the four best teams. And I think all in all, with the exception of Notre Dame, I probably would have put A&M in instead of Notre Dame as far as the best four teams in the country. But the end is still the same. The end is still Alabama beating whoever by a lot of points. That's where this season was going all season long, and I really didn't see any other way that we could have avoided that happening. So, Zach Blackerby, Isaiah Holt with you. You're listening to Locked On College Football.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidated questioning about your car while you wait and the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that his warehouse carries? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Listen, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Isaiah, we got a few minutes left on today's edition of Locked On College Football, and I think we just got to ask the question. After last season, I think a lot of people said that the 2019 LSU Tigers were the best college football team ever. You definitely can make the argument for the offense, for sure. Where does his Alabama team rank?
It's funny because I was watching that argument play out on Twitter between different, you know, analysts like Bill Connolly and some others. And Connolly seemed to want to put this Alabama team slightly above LSU. I'd say it goes the other way, because I think LSU had a better overall defense. Now, obviously, Alabama was no slouch defensively against Ohio State yesterday. They actually played a lot better defensively than I thought that they would have, just considering I probably saw about half of Alabama's games this year. Mm-hmm. So I thought that they played a really, really good game defensively, but that wasn't always the case every single week. Sometimes they were put on ice skates. I think that LSU team, conversely, didn't have that issue last year. I felt like LSU's defense was a bit more stringent, and that's why you saw so many of those guys end up in the NFL. Obviously, there was a lot of offensive pieces, but there were a lot of defensive pieces as well. I think it's really difficult to try to parse between who was the better quarterback, Joe Burrow or Mac Jones. They had pretty much the exact same season. But then you look at, like, wideouts and everything, and I think Devontae Smith might, you know, he's a little bit more than a hair ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. Najee Harris, I think I'd take him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't even know, really. Like, we just going through that, like, which one do I put ahead? Because I think the Alabama offense ended up being a little bit better than the LSU offense, but I think the LSU defense is better than the Alabama defense.
I'd love to be able to create a world where they could play each other. That would be so fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, just get the guys that are in the NFL to come back and, you know, and let's just get them all to do it, you know, one-off.
They should all do it and just, like, do a pay-per-view thing. They could charge a lot of money for that. Be awesome.
You know, just a quick aside, because I know this is one of the things that we talked about yesterday. How cool is it, though, that we got to have this season? And I know that there's some voices out there that are still trying to shame the idea that we had a season. I think it's excellent that we were able to, because, like, we didn't have any large-scale problems. Yeah, there were game cancellations and things of that nature, but we largely made it through relatively unscathed, minus some game cancellations.
No, you're absolutely right, man. And, you know, I live in the heart of the South, and, you know, we were told by parts, you know, of the Pac-12 and then the Big Ten, the conference that you cover, just, you know, how foolish the SEC is and how the ACC went on ahead. The Sun Belt stayed true, and it's just like, you know, how selfish and how, you know, bad of an idea all of this was. And then for all of the Power Five conferences to join in at some point to be able to play. And then, of course, with all the bowl games, or the vast majority of bowl games happening, and then obviously the college football playoff and the national championship happening. I mean, what a huge win, and props to every single collegiate athlete that sacrificed maybe some social settings that they had and, you know, worked super hard to get there so folks like us can enjoy it and talk about it. I mean, you talk about a big deal as far as impacting a lot of people. They did all of that. And so, I mean, props off to all of those athletes.
And think about how much, like, this was life-impacting for those guys who played, right, too? Because, Mac Jones, it probably secured himself as a first-rounder, where I don't think that was where anyone was talking about him.
You're right.
Devontae Smith was maybe a late first-rounder. Now he's easily a top 10, if not top 5 pick.
Yep.
I mean, and it's not just those guys, you know? It's guys all around. And, I saw that same criticism, obviously, living up here in Ann Arbor. People in Ann Arbor were ambivalent in the sense of there was one half that were, you know, clamoring for football and the other that wasn't. I certainly got my fair share of messages from fellow alums from Michigan that are kind of dispersed throughout the country, or people that live in California were, you know, even midseason saying, like, why the heck is this even happening? And listen, things were a problem, are still a problem out in Southern California, that they aren't the same problem out here. And I commend not just the student athletes that all took part, but the staffs across the country that really made sure to keep these guys safe, and the medicine that went behind it, and all of the you know, up here in Big Ten, daily testing and everything like that. It's a huge success, honestly. Even if, like, you know, it wasn't a success for Michigan, of course, but overall, the fact that we got to have a season and we got to see some really great football. And, yeah, it was weird. It was different. But I think this was the kind of distraction that America needed, too, just to kind of feel our soul again. When I kind of feel like college football is the soul of America. So it was really great to be able to witness that and have it culminate. And I don't care what anybody says. Yesterday was fun. You know, just to even just to get to see that offense take the field for one more time. To me, that's fun.
Isaiah, where can people find you and hear you, bud?
WolverinesWear.USAToday.com for all of the writing stuff. Locked On Wolverines for the listening stuff. At Isaiah Hole, and any platform of your desire.
I'm on Twitter at ZBlackerby, and you can hear me every day on Locked On Auburn. Our colleagues throughout the Locked On College Football Network will be back right here with you tomorrow on Locked On College Football.
You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.